always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Thursday. Lots going on. You know, I mentioned earlier that tomorrow is the last Golic and Wingo show. Then they're making the changes on the lineup. And we will have Mike Greenberg, who's going to be our new lead-in before we take the airwaves at 2 o'clock every day. We'll have him on Monday. And I got a text here from Boston Beans. He's really bummed that there's no Golic and Wingo. Really likes Golic Sr. and Golic Jr. together. What's Golic Jr. doing? Well, Golic Jr. is going to be on right after us. You'll be able to hear him when we sign off at 6 o'clock. So he's still on the airwaves. So, good news there. All right. Yep. We have Thirsty Nick on the phone. It is time for the Thirsty Nick Thirsty Thursday Sports Quiz.
Hold on. Don't we have to get a rundown before?
Oh, whoa.
It's busy at the top of the hour. Whoa. I know, Craig. A lot of balls
to juggle. Air traffic control just caused a major accident on the runway. That is totally my fault. Thirsty Nick, hang tight. Time now for a Sports Center rundown. Here's Chris.
Tennessee Titans GM John Robinson released a statement today saying newly signed outside linebacker Vic Beasley will be reporting to training camp soon. Beasley's missed the first 2 days of camp and did not contact the team. We got one day game today in Major League Baseball. It's the Nationals and Blue Jays from D.C. at 4 o'clock. And NBA tips off tonight, 6:30 on TNT. Pelicans take on the Jazz. That's followed at 9 with the Clippers and Lakers. That game at 8:30 on 99.3 ESPN.
Nicely done, Chris. Thank you. Again, my apologies. Snooty Pooch with the text says, what did I miss in the first hour? Anything good?
Not really.
And he said, of course, that's a dumb question. Yeah. It was a fantastic first hour.
Are you kidding me?
I was teasing. I was kidding.
All right.
Joking.
Pete, any final words for you before I introduce Thirsty Nick? I just steamrolled the whole first segment. I'm sorry. Anything going on? Huh? No?
No, okay. I'm waiting anxiously for this SEC. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what the SEC is going to do. I just have a feeling we're going to know before we get off the air tonight. So.
Okay. Very good. See if they match the ACC, which is what we think. Now, without any further delay by me, ladies and gentlemen, here's Thirsty Nick. Nick, how are you?
Nick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet, man. You bet. So you still in Southwest Florida, yes?
Yep. Okay. I'm at home in Naples right now.
All right. Very good. All right. And today's topic is college football related?
Yep. It's just another it's a little smorgasbord of college football trivia.
All right. Oh. And do you have our standings in front of you by any chance and how we are doing?
I do. I do. Craig, I like that you mentioned that because I feel like you know that you've been catching back up recently.
Slightly.
So Chris still has a 2-point lead, followed by Pete. And Craig, you're only 7 back from Pete. So it's 32, 30, 23.
How many questions today?
Well, 4 questions every day.
Oh, this is going to take me weeks to catch up. All right.
Well, the scoring system is pretty arbitrary. I assign points sometimes at random.
Okay. All right.
And you're allowed half a point, too, right, if we both like say it at the same time?
Of course.
Yes. All right. So let's, without any further delay, let's fire it up. Here we go.
This is a quiz.
Welcome back, boys and girls. It's another exciting episode of the Thirsty Thursday Quiz. I'm your host, Thirsty Nick, on the Scheman and Shepherd program with Chris behind the glass.
Yeah.
Today, we have a college football quiz. Remember, every answer is a current Power 5 college football team.
Okay,
and
right.
questions about conferences are talking about football affiliation only. Okay. Question number one. Which college football rivalry holds the distinction of the most played rivalry in FBS history with 129 meetings between the two schools?
Southern Cal, Notre Dame.
No.
Yeah, this is a tough one. How about Clemson, South Carolina?
Good guess. No, that's not it.
Michigan, Minnesota.
No, but you're on the right track. Ooh. Think Big Ten.
Ooh.
Michigan, Ohio State.
Nope.
I know. How about
Minnesota?
Michigan State, Minnesota.
Nope.
Minnesota, Iowa.
Wisconsin
and Iowa.
Nope.
Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Yes.
Hold on. I said that. I whispered that in like two seconds ago. Go back to the tape. I said Wisconsin, Minnesota. Under when Chris spoke and talked over me.
I don't think so.
Oh, that is an outrage. Protest.
The fun fact about this rivalry is Wisconsin currently leads the all-time series 61-60 with eight ties.
Wow. That's interesting.
But that barn burner.
All right, question number
points
two.
To Pete.
I'm giving Pete the point on that one.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think if you went back to the tape, you'd hear me
say just guessed the most, but that's okay.
Which current SEC team was formerly a part of the ACC, and which current ACC team was formerly a part of the SEC?
South Carolina.
Gosh!
Yeah.
Craig, you got South Carolina.
Okay.
And what current ACC was formerly of the SEC?
Vanderbilt.
Correct, but no, not Vanderbilt. Oh. It's got to be a current ACC team that used to be in the SEC.
Oh, boy.
And I'll give you a clue. They were in the SEC for nearly 30 years.
It's a Missouri one. No, they weren't in the ACC.
No. What's the question again?
Which current ACC team was formerly a member of the SEC?
Or Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech! Greg, you got it!
Did I get 2 points on that one? That was a two-part question. Greg.
No.
You got 2 points on that one.
Yeah!
Whoa! Good job.
Oh, man, it's Craig's day today.
Yeah,
all right, here we go.
I'm fire, man.
Among schools that have played major college football for the past 50 years, which school has the fewest losing seasons in that time span?
Did you say 50 as in 5-0 or 15?
5-0.
5-0.
Ohio State.
Ohio State, you got it, Chris. Ohio State.
I was going to say Notre Dame, but yep.
Wow. All right.
Now, for a bonus point, can you guess how many losing seasons they've had out of the past 50?
3.
1.
4.
No.
What is it?
0?
10.
It's 2. They've had 2 losing seasons.
Wow.
Now, so close. In second place is Oklahoma. They've had 3 losing seasons out of the past 50. And then, surprisingly, Michigan has only had 4, and USC also with 4.
How about that? Brady Hope.
Good stuff.
All right,
here we go. Last question, and this one sort of blew my mind. I couldn't even believe it was true. Which SEC school changed their team name and mascot from the Flood, ironically, because they didn't want to have a team name that would portray them negatively?
Ole Miss.
Got it, Ole Miss.
Damn, I was just...
The Rebels didn't want a bad team name, huh?
Right. Yeah, change it again.
They were known as the Ole Miss Flood until 1935 after a flood killed over 500 people in Mississippi.
Wow. What a terrible name.
Rebels.
Yeah, that was a terrible name. Well, guys, update on the leaderboard here. It looks like Chris with 34... Pete with 31, Craig with 25. You're catching up, buddy.
I'm catching up. It's a good day for me. Thank you, Thursday,
extending
Nick.
Extending my lead. Hold on. We want to let Nick.
You're unaware of what happened yesterday, right? So, you were caller number 9 on
questions
on Wikipedia, and I, like I just did at the top of this hour, I screwed up. Every time Nick's on the air, I screw up the formatics. I gave Pete a point that he shouldn't have had in the Cowboys quarterbacks trivia yesterday. And so we've deemed that it's actually a tie, still tied 2-2. I have 2 more questions left. We need to finish off Wikipedia from yesterday.
And to be fair, it is a point that, to me, it is a point that I got right along with the other 2 questions. But you were supposed to get a shot at it first, Thirsty Nick. So
how about that? So if you don't mind, Thirsty Nick, if you could hang longer, we now have 2 more questions for you. Do we have our Wikipedia music or anything?
No.
What do you mean no?
No.
I mean no.
Do you have the dingers or the buzzers?
I can ding and buzz.
Okay, all right. So we're tied at 2, and Thirsty Nick has the next question, correct? Okay. Thirsty Nick. Who is the last quarterback in Cowboys history. And by the way, this is for the win if you get this.
Ooh.
Who is the last Cowboys quarterback in Cowboys history to have won back-to-back playoff games?
I'm just going to say Troy Aikman.
Yes! Yeah. Thirsty Mac is the winner! How about that?
Did it?
Now, however, it has been since 1995, so it's been 25 years.
Been a while.
But yeah. All right, well, I feel better that we corrected that. Again, that was my error. Congratulations, Thirsty Nick. You are a winner from yesterday's Wikipedia, and thank you for your quiz today. Nice job, as always.
Oh, of course. And I just wanted to give you guys some props because I sit at home listening to Wikipedia, and I'm, like, rattling off all these answers. And then you get on air, and you can't remember, like, who's in the NFC East, and you're just like,
yeah, it's a little different.
So pressure. I give you props, Pete, for being on putting you on the spot every single day. That's pretty impressive, guys.
Oh, it's fun. It's a lot. But how about those people on Jeopardy that win, you know, 50 times in a row? I mean, that is amazing.
Yeah, those people really do. Crazy. But guys, I look forward to the rest of the show. I look forward to the NFL Top 100 discussion. And as always, guys, remember, stay thirsty.
All right, Thirsty Nick, everybody. He's a professional.
Did you have one more question?
Yeah, there was one more. Who is the only quarterback in Cowboys history to have never won a playoff game while starting at least one playoff game? All right, so he made the playoffs, but never won, and there's only one quarterback in that category.
Quincy Carter?
That is correct. All right. Finally put yesterday's Wikipedia to bed. I feel like we've...
Quincy Carter 0-1.
Righted a wrong?
The only reason I'm disappointed in the quiz, I really thought you'd have a Dandy Don question in there.
Chris doesn't know who Don Meredith is.
Oh.
No, he was before Staubach.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about that?
And ironically, Craig Morton, I believe, was his backup, or Craig Morton was Roger Staubach's backup for many years, and then was the starter for the Broncos in 77 when the Cowboys won that Super Bowl.
No, he really didn't do anything noteworthy.
Who, Dandy Don or?
Yeah.
Don Meredith?
Yeah. Like, outside that, like, differentiates himself from other great Cowboys quarterbacks, at least at the stats I was looking at.
He was Tony Romo before Tony Romo in the broadcast booth, man. All right.
I think he's in the Hall of Fame, is he not?
No, I'm not saying he wasn't a very good player. All I'm saying, or a great player. All I'm saying was I couldn't find any stats that like I could position a question around him.
Because the Cowboys did suck on his era, on his watch. They did.
Right, and when you've got like all these crazy stats that Romo was putting up and Aikman and Dak Prescott's actually putting up.
No, he's not in the Hall of Fame. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
The most impressive stats, but yeah. Just,
right. Yeah. Oh, I thought maybe you tie in Monday Night Football to him and...
That's just not really the direction we were going. In.
Yeah, three-time Pro Bowler. Yeah. Yeah, 135 touchdowns, 111 picks.
And the non-throwing era, by the way.
Yeah.
Do we have an update on a Twin Peaks Twitter poll? It's been up there for an hour. We had a couple of questions up there, I believe, regarding both the latest NFL Network Top 100. Patrick Mahomes, fourth. Lamar Jackson, one. Of course, the NBA starting night. We had a couple of questions. What's the latest at?
Pat Mahomes way ahead at 90.3%. 72 votes so far. 90.3% to 9.7%.
One of the largest results we've seen.
Running away.
Oh, yeah. For closing in on 100 votes. And will you watch the NBA tonight? 56.7% say yes. 43.3% no.
Good. I'll be watching as well and listening here.
Dialed in
on 99.3 ESPN.
It's like that degenerate itch is finally getting scratched, and tonight feels like when you finally like zeroed in on where the itch is. I'm scratching.
Be careful.
I'm scratching hard tonight,
ladies. I'm telling you right now, home court is not worth 3 points anymore, and the over-unders, watch out. Be careful.
I think, well, have you heard what a lot of the shooters in the bubble are saying, Craig? Because it's so dark and the arenas that they're playing in are so much smaller than what they're used to, that it's a great shooting environment. So maybe we'll see points at a higher clip than a regular season where you're playing in these huge arenas.
See, I'm a little more cautious, fellas. I'm going to sit out a first week or so and see how it rolls.
No,
challenge.
Sit out the first week. There's only 2 weeks of regular season.
Right. And this, when it counts, I count.
You're like Joe Kelly. You're going to miss half the regular season.
You have to go on the honor system tonight, Craig, but you will have shekels on at least the Clipper-Laker game. in some way, shape, or form.
For sure, Pete.
As of right now, I do not.
That's the long way till 9 o'clock. So
what's going to happen is Craig's going to get home. He's going to unscrew the Coors Light that he didn't finish last night. He's going to sit down on the couch. He's going to be watching the Pelicans and Jazz.
The beer's skunked, but he'll drink it anyway.
He might actually throw some second half action on the first game.
I don't do partials very often. I don't.
But tonight's the night.
All right. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Some more good news in the world of sports regarding COVID. So Oklahoma just tested 100 players, 38 staffers, zero positives.
Oh, good.
PGA Tour tested 108 people, caddies and players, 808, zero positives.
Great. Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep. Why are DeChambeau and Ricky Fowler wearing these push-up color, you know, the popsicle color, yellow peach flavored looking shoes?
What's marketing.
Huh?
Marketing.
Okay.
They're both Puma golfers.
Both Puma,
Puma and Cobra golfers, so I'm sure that they gave them the shoes and told them, hey, you're playing together Thursday and Friday, wear these.
Okay. It's very noticeable. It's working.
They're bright.
It got my attention.
They are bright.
All right, Pete mentioned Oklahoma. We have some Big 12 sound left over from Sound Street.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the command. And again, yesterday the ACC announced their one division, conference only, plus one, and it includes Notre Dame. There seemed at the time to be a difference of opinion in the SEC. There was a breaking story from a writer that said, no, the SEC is going to go conference only, which would eliminate the plus one from the ACC because it involves so many SEC teams. But we are eagerly awaiting the word from the mouth of the horse, as they say, the real SEC. All right, the horse's mouth.
Hear it from the horse's mouth.
I said the mouth of the horse.
You're not hearing it from the mouth of the horse. That's not the same.
Of course.
And
Shadow Facts.
Yeah. Now, the Big 12.
You don't know who that is, do you?
Shadow Facts.
No clue.
Yes. No, I don't either.
The great horse in Lord of the Rings. Beautiful white stag that Gandalf rode.
That's pretty obscure.
Everybody knows who these.
I can't be blamed for that.
Everybody, huh?
I can't be
and
held
the two people you're doing
that.
A show with don't get the reference.
Well, that's you don't count as everybody.
You should know by now. Don't make a Lord of the Rings reference. We're not going to get it.
Now I'm getting hammered for my approach to Skittles tonight on the NBA. A Dumpster Fire says, scared money don't make money, Craig.
Bingo!
Yeah.
And Lifelong Buckeye says, Craig, do you even wade into the pool? You know, just kind of put my toe in. Actually, yeah, I'm... Well, sometimes I jump in.
See, when it's cold, though, it's better to jump.
I wade halfway in, and then I just plunge at the rest. So I cover all my bases. All right, here we go. The Big 12.
You wait for shrinkage to kick in, and then you plunge.
Correct.
Something like that. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Boolsby. Now, they've been kind of sticking to their guns. They're going to maybe play a full conference and non-conference and start early, but now this is completely different. He was on Freddie and Fitzsimmons last night on ESPN Radio, and he says spring is still an option for football, for crying out loud.
I think the spring is a viable option. I don't think it's first choice. As I said earlier, I think you go to that by default. And there may be an opportunity for that. It could turn out that we can't start the football season. It could turn out that we get disrupted broadly enough that we have to shutter the season. It could be that some schools will be able to keep going and others will have to stop. There are a number of scenarios. We could get to the point where the testing is not available or the turnaround time is not satisfactory. And our doctors and scientists could say what you're doing is not going to work going forward, so you need to stop. And if that happens at a time where we can pivot to the spring, I have no problem with that. I just don't think that's the kind of thing you do preemptively.
Well, that's just a disappointment. All right.
Well, but it's reality, and it's being preparing for every single scenario. That's all. Now, it'll be great for walk-ons because that's who's going to be allowed to play. That's who's going to be playing because anybody
who's going to
get drafted, whoever's going to get drafted in the first three or four rounds is not going to be playing. So it'll be a lot of no names out there, but it'll be football at least.
No, I agree with you, Pete. I think that it's just we're not taking anything off the table right now. Stuff changes week to week with this, and Yeah, there are still options.
All right, now let's go to Texas AD Chris Del Conte. Remember, Texas Longhorns, as of yesterday, they were still going 50% capacity on the stadium. That holds 100,000. That means 50,000 people at Longhorn games. He wishes, now that the other conferences are sticking their head out of the water and kind of coming up with their own plan, he wishes the Power Five conference has had acted as one. This is also on Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
I just wish that the Power Five conferences could all coalesce at the same time. This is what we're going to do, right? When the Big Ten made their announcement, followed up by the Pac-12, and now the ACC, and we've been working on all kinds of scenarios ourselves, and I'm assuming the Southeastern conferences as well. I do not know, but it just it would just have been a benefit of all of us coming out together and saying this is what we're going to do. But I like the concept of a plus one model. Obviously, we in the Big 12 have been theorizing about a playing all 12 games, and then you have models. And Bob Bowlesby, our commissioner, is phenomenal. We've been having models of conference only, plus one, 12, what that will look like, start dates, all kinds of things. So we've been kind of collectively in our own conference working on all kinds of scenarios. And not surprised by the ACC's comment. I just read their proposal of a conference game, and then their one game is going to be within their own state. Thought that was interesting. So obviously they've been working on that for a long, long time. And, you know, we will continue to do what we're doing in the Big 12, but I'm not surprised by that outcome.
The beginning of that soundbite is what I've been saying all along. This just shows what lack of leadership is like in the NCAA. At least the Power Five should have made a decision as one, in my opinion.
Well, yes, but are they allowed to do that? I mean, I know they can collude. I understand that. But I was just going to bring this up. What do you guys think of this? But do you think, say a team like UCF or Boise State gets a hold of Mark Emmert and says, hey, we're one school. We're all supposed to be equal.
Right.
We all know the truth's different. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I'm saying that we're all supposed to be equal. So why is there an exception to the rule for them? Why can't we do this here or that there? Why are the Power Fives, you know, we're all supposed to be one big, happy family. And I wonder if creepy Mark Emmert is taking that. Now, he's going to be overruled. There's no question. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, UCF or Boise State, say, or another school that's a non-Power Five, but is reasonably talked about in the world of college football. Mark Emmert is probably saying to them, well, don't worry. We're all equal here. You don't worry about those, head of the five families over there. We're all equal. You'll get your day.
But as we've learned throughout this, Mark Emmert has nothing to do with college football.
Right.
So they they can go, and it's like, you're talking to somebody that has no power. Who's the AD at UC? Danny White?
Yeah, Danny White.
Danny White can call me and vent to me the same as Mark Emmert. We both have the same power when it comes to college football.
Do these smaller schools end up suing next year going, well, we didn't have the opportunity last year, and it cost us millions? You can sue for anything.
You can sue for anything, yes.
Yeah,
Who are you going to sue?
I'm not sure.
Right.
The conferences? The Power Fives?
And I'll tell you what the first line of defense will be for anybody.
Force majeure.
Force majeure.
Force majeure. Absolutely. That'll be the first line of defense.
But like with UCF, I can't imagine that their game with North Carolina was a guarantee game. So having that game canceled, basically, who are you? You can't sue anybody for that.
You don't think there was a guarantee on that? Non-Power Five versus a Power Five?
It's a home and home. It's not a two-for-one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. You might be right.
Yeah.
Here's more from Chris Del Conte. Again, the AD from Texas. They'll be testing twice a week. That doesn't seem like enough. With quick turnaround on results.
I mean, that's exactly what you knew going in. Is how are we, with the University of Texas, we're going to test twice a week. Right, so we know we're going to test twice a week. They're requesting the requirement from the NCAA was once a week. We know we're going to test twice a week. We know we're going to have 24-hour turnaround from the time. If you take a test at 8 in the morning, the next day we'll have those results. We know the things that we're going to do to put ourselves in a position. But I don't know what their circumstance was, right? And one of the things you look at is you always learn from someone else's mistakes to better your own opportunity. And we share with our staff and our coaches and our student-athletes, this is what happened at Miami. Look what happened. We don't know where the contact tracing was. We can look back at the NBA and what they have in that bubble. We don't have that opportunity to go in that bubble. Or you look at what the NFL, and I have a lot of friends that are coaches in the NFL, and we've been sharing protocols back and forth.
the same time, we have a lot of student athletes that are former Longhorns are in the NFL, and they've been sharing with me their protocols. So you're just getting as much and gathering as much information as we can put forth to make sure that at the University of Texas, our student athletes are put in the very best position to be successful on the playing field, in the classroom, in this current pandemic.
Texas, he basically said, we don't become the Marlins. That's what he said.
Well, no, and that's all well and good, but I'm thinking, and again, thinking outside the non-Power 5 conferences, there's still a lot of big schools that have a lot of students there, but they may not have the funding that the Power 5 schools have to go testing every day. And get the testing twice a week and get the test back the next day. I believe outside the Power 5 conferences, this problem most of the schools in this country can't afford to do that.
Are you surprised that Texas, that has more money than any school, is only going to test twice a week? I mean, everybody else is doing. Weren't they doing every other day in baseball?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's the pros, though. I mean,
no, it was every other day, and that's what the NFL had proposed. They changed that. Remember, the players, I don't want to say threw a stink because it's not a stink. They just said, hey, we want testing every day. So NFL's doing testing every day for the first 2 weeks of training camp. Then it goes to every other day as long as you're asymptomatic.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. More on this, plus your thoughts at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. We want to see your best catch this summer. Log on to 993ESPN.com and upload a picture of you and your best-looking bass for a chance to win a home generator. It's through the end of next week. Upload your picture, and then we'll vote on the best bass based off of girth, mouth size, color of the fish, the whole deal. It's Fish Your Bass Off, and it's only at 993ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepard, 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepard.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Blast it.
Good tune.
Though a lot of... This is what's his name that ended up being a pedophile, right?
This is not Gary Glitter Rock and Roll 2.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was. My bad.
This is the Black Keys Howlin' for You.
Oh, my bad.
Same beat, however.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
Sorry. Threw me off.
Listen, you guys would have killed me if I'd made that comment, but
I'm
much easier.
Not at all. No, I would have. It sounds familiar. Nope, absolutely not.
So, go ahead.
Breaking news out of Seattle. Jamal Adams spoke with the Seahawks media today and said this. We don't need a sound here. My plan is to retire here.
In 2 years when his deal's
sure
up?
Sure it is.
Right, exactly.
That's wonderful. That's great.
The Seahawks have said they will deal with this contract after the season, next year, with 1 year remaining instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
They have to. I mean, they gave up the three picks and a player.
They gave up four assets for a headache. I just don't get it.
Now, what if he blows out a knee? I don't either.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's a headache in the sense that He will tear apart the locker room if it means if it comes between him getting what he wants.
However, let's give Pete Carroll a little bit of credit. I don't think it would be as bad. Jamal Adams clearly did not respect Adam Gase, and I think there's a good case for that. But I mean, I think Pete Carroll, I think he can handle personalities. And look, Jamal Adams may still blow up, but I don't think it's going to be nearly as bad because I think Pete Carroll's one of the few coaches that can handle things like this in his locker room. We'll see. He may be, I don't know if he's going to be a choir boy in there, but I think it'll work.
By all accounts in the NFL, he's a real likable guy. I mean,
yeah.
Jamal Adams?
Yeah. I mean,
Don't ask the Patriots mascot from the Pro Bowl a few years ago.
Well, that was him.
Yeah, that was him too. Yeah, he hurt. That guy got hurt. He had to go to the hospital.
I think there's a little lawsuit in there somewhere.
Was there?
I think. Also, you got Russell Wilson. You got leadership in that locker room.
But none of that mattered with Earl Thomas. That's what's confusing about this trade. In the Seahawks, you had
Earl
Pro
Thomas.
Bowl caliber safety, and you chose not to pay him. So why would you go out, give up assets to get another Pro Bowl caliber safety? Granted, different playing style. Jamal Adams more of the strong safety.
Give up the farm.
Look, he's a great player. He is one of the five best safeties in the game. Maybe three. He's fantastic. I just don't understand what's changed in the Seattle thinking in 12 months between not wanting to pay Earl Thomas and now you're going to go up, give up assets for a safety that you're going to have to pay next season?
Yep. That's a good point.
Did Earl Thomas walk or did they trade him? I can't remember.
Oh, he walked.
He walked, so they got nothing.
Remember, he broke his leg and flipped off Pete Carroll on the cart?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And Pete Carroll says they're good now.
Right.
I don't believe that.
Maybe Pete's good, but maybe Earl's not.
And the other thing, too, back to Lamar Jackson and A.B., and the other thing about A.B., I know Harbaugh has said yesterday, I mean, he said he's not totally poo-pooing it, except he kind of is when he says that can't happen right now, basically. And he's right, for legal reasons. It cannot happen right now. And I don't think he brings in Antonio Brown in because, God forbid, he gets in there. And then what if he starts to poison his cousin who's on that team, too, with the Ravens? They don't need that nonsense right now. They don't need it.
I mean, didn't we say yesterday the cousin would be kind of a steadying force around him as opposed to poisoning him?
Said maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. It could be the opposite. Of, like I said, it could be the very opposite. I just don't think he's – like I said, I think there's more probable than not that Antonio Brown never plays again because I still think there's going to be some – he's got major repercussions with some of these the charges against him.
I just have a feeling we are going to see him play. I wouldn't say never.
I'm not saying never.
I've learned to never say never in this crazy business. Yeah. Look, I didn't think he'd end up on the Patriots. Well, I did, actually. I said that within 12 hours he was a Patriot. I don't know. I think we will see Antonio Brown in the NFL at some point under some circumstance. But, yeah, he's got a lot of hurdles to go through first. There's no doubt about what you're saying. And they are of the legal nature. Forget about just – we spent a lot of time talking about whether Roger Goodell is going to suspend him or not. You're right. There's still a legal matter involving a sexual assault still hanging out there. So, you're right. You're right about that part.
Also, the other thing that happened in the NCAA today for football, about an hour ago, the sideline area college football teams used to congregate will now be extended by 20 yards this season, and only one captain from each team will be permitted to participate in the pregame or overtime coin toss.
Wow. All right, so that means the sidelines will go from the 20 to the 20 instead of the 30 to the 30, correct?
Sidelines currently extends from one 25-yard line to the other. Those areas will now span from the 15 to the 15. Currently, as many as four team captains can participate in the coin toss. That has been reduced to one, and only two officials will be allowed to participate. Also, in soccer, the penalty for spitting at an opponent has been increased from an ejection and one-game suspension to an ejection and a two-game suspension for the Lugie. And the volleyball teams will not switch benches during a match.
All reasonable.
They switch benches during a match in volleyball?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's a silly rule. Why are we doing that?
Sitting in their sweat.
I have no idea.
Well, I know they switch sides of the court.
Yeah.
But like that happens in basketball, and the coach just yells across the court for half the game.
Right.
Don't know. Can't tell you the reason why. Don't know. Better angle? I don't know.
Just got to yell louder. Play some defense! Bleep, bleep, bleep.
You know, that is one sport every 4 years when the Olympics roll around. I forget how much fun volleyball is to watch.
Oh, they're awesome. Men and women. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Or beach.
Well.
And even the college championships are phenomenal.
They're all different. I naturally think of volleyball as a women's sport. Like, nothing bad about it. It's just like volleyball was big at my high school. We didn't have a guys team. We had a girls team, whatever. And you see more of like collegiate volleyball on the women's side on TV and stuff. But watching the men during the Olympics, there's some really good athletes out there jumping through the roof.
I got to jump in real quick here. Brooks Koepka's got an impossible shot behind a tree and up against a fence. There's no room for a backswing. There's no room for a follow through. I want to see how he pulls this. And he's playing on a bad knee. Okay.
He's ahead, too. He looks tied for the lead.
He was.
Amazing.
Half punch, half. Where did it go? Did it even get to the fairway? I don't think it did.
It's in the fescue.
Just got punched out.
But just quick on the volleyball thing again. I know I've mentioned this before, but Rocco Baldelli, now the manager of the Minnesota Twins, he was a phenomenal volleyball player. He could have played anywhere in the country. It was his best sport.
Is he tall?
He is tall.
Yeah.
Kind
of got to be tall to play good volleyball, I think.
No, not necessarily.
Be a setter?
They usually are, though.
Yeah. Be a setter?
No, spotter, some setter. The front line are, but not the not the setters.
I believe it's called the libero. He or she wears a different colored jersey. They're able to come in and out of the game without using up a sub.
They're like pawns in a chess game. Then you bring in the big boys and girls to do the spiking, hitting.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say pawns. I'd say they're more like the guards of the basketball world.
I used to be a great volleyball player in sixth grade gym class. Oh,
I had a great overhand serve. I wish they had volleyball when I was. They have it at my school, high school now for guys, but it didn't back then. It would have been a great. Would have done it probably if I didn't play baseball.
I'd pay a lot to see that.
See what?
Oh, I was
current Pete Shepherd playing volleyball.
Back in my day, absolutely.
No, current Pete Shepherd playing volleyball. There would
I play volleyball in the pool. I played volleyball on the beach a couple years ago.
And
down here.
And you didn't injure anything?
You played beach volleyball?
Yeah.
That is
exhausting. For like 20 minutes.
Hold
yeah,
on,
we had,
hold
on.
Let's yep. back up. There's a lot to unpack here.
It's on Fort Myers Beach, yeah.
Was it more Top Gun-like? I mean, were you strutting?
That was five. It was five. It was boys and girls.
Were you taking off the flamingo button-down shirt and getting all oiled up there?
I had my T-shirt on because it was about 95. Yeah. It was the middle of the summer, and we played for like 20 minutes. Quick game to seven or something like that.
And you
it
didn't
was
pull
really,
a hammy
it was
or
really,
anything.
Really hot. Most of us were over 30. Few of us were over 50, so we weren't lasting that long, but it was a good time.
Harry Carey with a timely text. He says, Tom Cruise is short. He was a great volleyball player in Top Gun.
Phenomenal. You'd think it'd be tough for some guy 5'4" to be able to jump up and spike like that.
Is he that short? Is he 5'4"?
I don't.
Yeah,
he's pretty
that.
Short. Yeah.
Wow. Can't even imagine what it'd be like to be that short.
Well, it's 5'7".
Oh, okay.
So that's a lot better. I mean, 3 inches, that's a big 3 inches right
for
there.
For a dude, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I need a break because I know what the next comment is.
Cameron Diaz, 5'9".
Really?
Yeah. They've been in a couple movies together.
Cameron
at least
Diaz
one.
And Tom Cruise?
At least one.
Yeah, the one took place in Boston. It was really good.
Day and Night.
Day and Night was real good.
Yeah.
Oh.
The only thing that sucked about – you know what
Vanilla
sucked
Sky.
About that?
They were in Vanilla Sky together, right?
Two. Look at that.
Horrible movie.
Vanilla Sky was horrible. Day and Night was – it's kind of underrated except – oh, my God. Commuting into Boston was not fun during that filming because it lasted about a month and it sucked. You couldn't get in. They blocked the Zakim Bridge, which is the main bridge coming off of 93 that goes right by the garden you see on TV all the time.
Yeah.
Blocked off, which created monster traffic jams.
By the harbor!
By the harbor!
It was. Yeah, that's your app. That's how you're correct.
It's by the harbor.
No, yes, it is.
Goes over.
All right. Enough of that nonsense. Boy, look at the time. Don't forget, coming up in a few minutes, we got the bubble report. Can't forget that. We were not timely yesterday. Bubble people not punctual. 420 on the dot. That's coming up. So stay with us. The NBA resuming tonight. Speaking of the bubble, at Walt Disney World, we got coverage. Clippers, Lakers tonight, 8:30. Catch the Fever. Rockets, Mavs tomorrow night, 8:30. Sunday at 3, Trailblazers and Pete Shepherd Celtics, not down by the harbor, but in Orlando. How about that? Lots of NBA action here on 99.3 ESPN. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Green Falcon, who is a regular contributor to the text line, questions my accuracy of Cameron Diaz being in the horrible Tom Cruise movie Vanilla Sky.
I think he's right.
Tom, who, him or me?
No, him. I think Penelope Cruz was in that
okay,
one.
Okay, okay. Here's the deal. I am right.
But,
I'm going to up it up to 94% correct all the time.
You can't do that.
Well, I was up to 93 when Pete was gone last week. Tom Cruise, Penelope Cruz, Cameron Diaz, Russell was in this movie, Jason Lee, and Johnny Galecki from Big Bang Theory was in that movie too. So
Kurt Russell, underrated.
Yeah, yeah. Solid career. Well, he's in the
that's not no
Guardians
not,
of the
not
Galaxy,
solid
too.
Career. Great
no,
career.
Kurt Russell. His best role ever was Herb Brooks. In Miracle.
Those are facts.
Tango and Cash was a horrible movie. If you go back to when we were children, Craig,
yes.
The Strongest Man in the World, that was actually that. I remember. Do you remember the lines for that movie being around the block? I mean,
no.
When that came out, that was a real popular Disney movie back then. Made him like Captain America. I mean, it was in a weightlifting competition in high school.
Escape from New York.
Escape from New York's not bad.
Tombstone was decent.
I like Tombstone Overboard.
Yeah. No, Overboard's not bad either.
Overboard's
right.
a funny movie, guys. Yeah. If you can't admit that, then you just haven't sat down and watched it. Not that remake crap.
You're forgetting.
No, not the remake.
You're forgetting
but the,
Backdraft
you're right.
for crying out loud. Fire.
I never cared for that movie.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway. Even Otis is backing me up. He always likes to point out when I'm wrong. So there. Craig is right. That should be two right point. I'm up to 95% correct.
I found it interesting.
Real mathematician, huh?
I found it interesting that early this morning that Heather Dinich had a story out about Notre Dame and their AD, Swarbrick. And he, you know, talking about this is an unprecedented and extraordinary year, and you recognize that going in. Now, my favorite part is when he says, could we have constructed a schedule without this? Yes, but given the uncertainties that everybody faces, you couldn't exactly be sure what you'd have. Look, he was playing six ACC teams, so that's six games he would have had to reschedule if he didn't go into this conference. Who are you going to play? BYU three times? Well, I mean, who's left?
They could have kept the six and just rescheduled.
No.
Well, they had Arkansas. They had scheduled games against Arkansas, Navy, and Western Michigan, and only the Navy game was on the road.
Yeah. Remember, the Notre Dame games, football games in a regular football season, they are not counted as conference games played in the ACC. So, according to the ACC, any non-conference game played this year has to be played in the state of the ACC school. So Notre Dame would have to travel six times to play their six ACC opponents. I don't think that they would have allowed
that. Did they
that.
Do that because of COVID, did they do that to screw Notre Dame and put the screws to them and make them do what they wanted? Was it because of COVID or is it because they wanted to force Notre Dame?
No, I think it's because, it's probably a little bit of both. It's about money. I mean, of course they want Notre Dame in there for the money. And we found out yesterday NBC is going to share the Notre Dame games with the rest of the ACC. But no, I mean, yeah, it's because of COVID. But no, I agree with you, Chris. If they did not do this, they would no way. I don't think the ACC, they would have been, I don't think they would have been allowed to go to the ACC. They probably would have had to schedule six more games, which is why they decided to bend the rules, or Notre Dame decided to, we better do this, because otherwise we're going to be stuck playing BYU and New Mexico three times.
Yeah, I think what would have ended up happening is there probably would have been three or four of those six ACC schools that said, hey, we want this to be our non-conference game as long as Notre Dame's willing to abide by the ACC testing rules and play the game in our home state, but they're not going to get all six of those, I don't think. No.
And if you're going to play all the, the independents, Liberty, BYU, Army, New Mexico State, and UMass, you probably would have had to schedule a bunch of those teams, or try to anyway, unless you, because the MAC conference, I'm not sure what they're, I'm pretty sure the rest of the non-Power Fives are probably going to follow suit here, right? I would think. The Mountain West, the AAC, the MAC, the Mid-American, the Conference USA. I think they're all going to follow what the Power Fives do, which is basically stay in conference. I believe that's going
to
be the case.
My gut feeling initially would be to say, well, Notre Dame could have filled the schedule. They were claiming people were calling, ringing off the hook. But on the second hand, the fact that they so quickly agreed to do the ACC tells me that maybe this very scenario you all are talking about, it would have been challenging to get good quality games for an entire schedule.
Well, only because I think the other conferences are going to follow suit,
right,
and nobody's going to allow them in. Of course, the money always comes into play, so maybe they would have. But I got to believe if Conference USA, for example, said, look, no, we're going to follow the Power Fives, we're just doing one division, we're going to do the same thing, one division, and that's it. Then Notre Dame screwed, and if the rest of the non-Power Fives follow, then they would be screwed. They would have to play. They might have had to play BYU. They'd have to play, Liberty and Mexico State.
But could Notre Dame have even gone to, I don't know, could they have even gone to the Pac-12, for example, and said, look, I know you're doing conference only, but Southern Cal, you still want to play an extra game with us? They'd have the power to schedule it if they'd want, I would think, unless the Pac-12 just says no. That's against our conference rules.
I don't know why the Pac-12 would want to step in. I know why USC would
USC
want.
USC might, because it's such an important game.
I know why USC would want that, and I would guess maybe Stanford would probably fall. I know it's not as traditional of a rivalry, right. But still, there's some history there between the two schools. But I don't.
But the nobody wants to do them any favors, do they?
No, I mean, if you're the Pac-12,
well, it's the travel.
If you're the Pac-12, you're going to say, "What's in it for us?"
Yeah. Right. Well, except for the Notre Dame money from NBC, that could be part of it. I mean, where Notre Dame plays, there's going to be money, and I get that. I understand that. I mean, Notre Dame Oregon would probably be an interesting, be a good game. Notre Dame Utah would be a good game. Notre Dame USC.
Yeah.
But again, let's factor in traveling. Factor in who's coming out of the Pac-12 to go to South Bend to play. Is that even going to be allowed? I don't think so.
No, the Pac-12 schools wouldn't.
Yeah. So.
They had to get the hell out of California, maybe they would go to South Bend.
So maybe Notre Dame, maybe the Pac-12 could have said, okay, you can come to the Pac-12 on the road for five games.
Yeah, but this was the only. It feels like this was the only legitimate option.
Okay, well, hold on. So Notre Dame still had five non-ACC games on their schedule.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you ask me if they could schedule six other games, and let's say Southern Cal and Stanford did, now you're down to four. I don't know. I think Notre Dame could have pulled
These are all road games then.
Well, somebody's going to have to play some road games.
They'd have to be all road games.
I don't see how that's a problem, getting in your own airplane, going to your own hotel.
No, Craig, you're missing the point here. NBC games only broadcast Notre Dame home football games. Yeah. So if Notre Dame doesn't have home football games, then they don't get that NBC money, taking away all the allure financially of bringing the Notre Dame into your conference.
Which means your home games, more than likely, if you go through and nobody outside the conference at the Power Fives or non-Power Fives will play you, then you are indeed – you are stuck with the Liberties and New Mexico States and UMass. You'd have no choice, I think.
Notre Dame would have gone undefeated as an independent and been clamoring to be one of the four teams in the playoffs.
They wouldn't have gotten in at that
point. Because you got to have at least how many Power Five wins now? They changed the rule this year.
Yeah.
Two cupcakes count instead of one. So they only need to play whoever their four Division One teams are.
But we're sitting here trying to figure it out on the back of a napkin, basically, and it's like there wasn't a reasonable way for this to go down except having Notre Dame join the ACC for a year. And I think ultimately, once the playoff gets expanded and we have conferences knowing the number of teams that will get in a playoff, I think this is just the first domino to fall that pushes Notre Dame into the ACC full time.
I'm looking at BYU's schedule. You got a feel for those kids out there. Here's the games for them that have been canceled: at Utah, home versus Michigan State, at Arizona State, and at Minnesota. The games left on their schedule are Utah State, Missouri, which that's not going to happen more than likely, Houston, Northern Illinois, Boise State, San Diego State, which probably isn't going to happen. Northern Alabama, which is a cream puff game, which I don't think is going to happen. And then at Stanford, which is not good. I don't think that's going to happen either.
All right, we can resume I was just going to say, sorry to interrupt. I was going to try and throw it to break. We'll continue this because we're super late. Chris, give me the high sign. More of this college football and what's going on with Notre Dame. We've got the bubble report. NBA starts tonight. Pretty excited about that. Sheeman and Shepard here on 99.3 ESPN. And the 99.3 ESPN app.